Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Let's turn in our scriptures. We're going to the second sermon in the series of messages entitled, When Jesus Shows Up. Everybody say that, When Jesus Shows Up. This week we're going to be preaching on, and we are preaching on, lepers are cleansed. Lepers are cleansed. Last week we covered this, and I'd been on vacation, and so I didn't get on the ball and have my PowerPoint for you, and I apologize, but not too profusely. We looked at John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, what the scripture records as Jesus' first great sign by which he revealed himself to his disciples, to the servants, those that were close in his entourage, but he did not yet reveal himself to Israel. This was the first sign by which his disciples really began to place their faith in him. Everybody say faith. When Jesus shows up, water becomes wine. He takes something which is normal and ordinary and already existing, and he does something miraculous, transcendent, and wonderful with it. God loves to take stuff. He loves to take your stuff and who you are and place his presence with you so that you can do and accomplish something that otherwise could never be done. He loves to take what's in your hand and do something miraculous. He loves to take normal, ordinary H2O. And when he gets done, transform it and change it into something. Now, if we're not careful, some of us are either skeptical of the miracle or have a deep ethical dilemma about, was that really wine? Did it really have alcohol? And on and on and on. And if we go there, we get very distracted and we get away from the central point of it. And what I'm urging us to consider is that when Jesus comes on the scene, when he's in the house, something miraculous happens, even with something as plain and ordinary as water. And how many of you know some people who are as plain and ordinary as water? They're just everywhere. Look around this room and look at the human beings. We're mostly water. Isn't that interesting that he would take water and transform it into wine? When we looked at that, we heard what Mary had to say, and that was, do what he says. That's great advice, isn't it? Then, not only that, but here what the servants did, they did it fully. I don't know about you, but I have been guilty from time to time, though it's rare, of doing something half-hearted and half-finishing the task. But I want to be somebody who does it with everything that is within me and does it all the way to the end. And I can say, I'd like to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the fight, I have kept the course, and I finished the fight, the race, the course that was laid out for me. I stuck it through and finished well. Well, those servants filled those pots to the brim, which left no room for man, no room for intervention, no room for a packet of Kool-Aid. No room for some magic dust. Nothing. They were full to the brim. So that when that was done, it was a doubly good day for a miracle. And Jesus did something powerful, wonderful, spectacular, and amazing with normal everyday water, which affected the marriage ceremony of a young couple that were getting married in Cana. That was a special day for them. It was a fun day for everybody that came, but it was a powerful day for those who recognized that Jesus will take a day like this and transform it by his grace. Now, I just want to let you know two things, and I'm just going to be very transparent with you as your pastor. Hopefully I can have always done that and continue to do that. I'm getting better at doing that. But something as I was preparing for this message, something that all I can say was, I didn't see something and I didn't hear something. I just know something, all right? I just know something. I know that the Holy Spirit dropped something into my heart about this service. And I know that he wanted me to lay it out before you before we go through this message, because I want it to be a companion with you as we go through these next few moments together, okay? And Number one, not long ago, and interestingly enough, pursuant to a lot of prayer I've been laying before the Lord, not long ago in this service, I believe it was Mother's Day, Deke Silverman just looked at me, pointed to me, and he said, "Pastor, there's an anointing of healing on you." And I wanted to say two things. One is, yeah, I would really like that. And number two, okay. And what do I do with that? So I began making a matter of prayer. Lord, this is something I've desired, I've prayed, I've talked to you about, I believe. But if I'm not careful, I still distance myself and I'm just like anybody else. And I say, well, that's great for Jesus when he walks into a room. Or that's great with somebody who has been known since they were 17 years of age. But this is something that I believe, Lord, you're wanting to do on a greater level in my life. But I don't know exactly how to walk that out. Now, how many of you know that the journey of a 1,000 miles begins with a single step? Okay, so I'm just going to just make myself vulnerable and just let you know that as a congregation, this is not a braggadocious thing. It's not saying that I'll take my coat and wave it over you and things will happen. Hey, who knows? Sky's the limit. But the Lord has really been challenging me over the last couple of years. And let me just tell you this along that line. I have seen the goofy. I've lived long enough that I've seen some goofy. I've seen some goofy done out of pretty pure hearts, desiring to see something happen. I've seen the goofy done out of cynical hearts. I've seen the goofy done out of manipulative hearts. And if I wasn't careful, I would throw the baby out with the bathwater, as that idiom expression goes. And then as a result, I would distance myself from certain things. And so I just want to let you know that your pastor is stepping out and wanting to lead us as a congregation into a greater depth of healing. I believe the time has come that one of the wells that the Lord is wanting to open up in this place is that well of healing. Amen? Now, what we want to see is when we have a healing evangelist come or a person who specializes in that gift, and how many of you are thankful for specialists? I am. Hallelujah. What an inspiration. And we will continue to do that. But I'm going to ask you to expect with me more of the results of Jesus' presence in the room and amongst his people. To come with an expectation and a receptive heart to receive from the Lord. The problem is not that Jesus isn't present here. The problem is that we're not aware that he's present here. And that we don't take it seriously and we don't connect to it with a childlike heart that says, even so. So I'm just going to stand before you, make myself vulnerable and say, I believe that the Lord is urging me out into there. But there's something that I said that for this reason, because there's something I just knew this morning as I was preparing my heart in prayer. And that's what I needed to share this with you now, because we're targeting towards the end of the service. And it's something, now some of you who have heard Brother Dale Everett, and this is one of my first concerns is like when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was afraid I'd sound like Sister So-and-so. And I thought she sounded weird. And so I didn't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and sound like her, because then all of my friends who were 11 years old would immediately say, well, I thought that was great, but you know what? You sounded just like Sister So-and-so. And I was paranoid, because it was really important to me what my 11-year-old fellow conspirators thought. I mean, my life hung. They hung the moon. It really depended on what they thought. You know what I had to do? I had to come to grips with that and say, it's okay if Lord, even if I sound like Sister So-and-so, I want to receive all that you have for me. When I came to that moment, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I think God has a sense of humor. There were a few syllables in there that sound like Sister So-and-so. And then he began to transform and change that dialect. And that's a whole other story, because I'm not preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, but I'm preaching upon the grace and the outpouring and the presence of Jesus in the place. Now, Brother Dale, I love his approach. And of course, in the back of my mind, I said, well, I just came up with that because Brother Dale has done that. And we have seen him in ministry here talk about what is the Lord going to do in this service. Okay? This is what the Lord is going to do in this service. And so, and I'm going to admit that concern to you when I share with you what I believe the Lord told me this morning in prayer. And I just know this. He said, as you preach on this and throughout this time, The people need to open their heart because I'm present today to heal skin conditions. Now, what does that mean? Because I'm going to preach here on leprosy, and this is a skin condition. You fill in the blank. I watch those commercials with people who have psoriasis, and they talk about embarrassment, and they talk about not being able to expose certain parts of their body because of shame or embarrassment. I mean, think of fill in the blank. Or we're going to be preaching on a leper. But when you're hearing that this morning, don't be hearing simply a man who part of his body has fallen off. And he is literally rotting his skin out in front of God and everybody. That's the horrible part. We don't know leprosy in our society. But we as a society are very sensitive to skin issues. And I just know this. I know that the Holy Spirit said, I am present today and I want to do healing work in skin conditions. So if it's a wart on a finger, a painful wart on the toe, if it's a psoriasis, if it's a rash, if it's an itchiness, if it's an itchy palm, I don't care how little it is. I just want you to take for a moment and say, okay, let me do quick body inventory. How many of you know your own body pretty good? Yeah. And what is that? Maybe the Holy Spirit would just quicken your heart. This is what I want to do. And this is going to be a sign that I'm with you. And I'm with you to heal and to do much more than that. And to lead us. I believe He wants to lead us. He wants to lead me and lead us as a congregation into a place of greater expectation and greater faith than we have ever been in. And He's here to do what some people would call insignificant things. Now, I want to also help charge your faith a little bit before I go into this message by saying this. As a young man, I heard a lot of messages on leprosy, healings, miraculous Jesus being in the house, so on and so forth. And there were times that I had warts, and you know what I did? I prayed over those bad boys. I used every medicine off the shelf and couldn't get them. But I want to tell you, one day, Jesus cleansed me of warts. There have been other things that I have noticed on my skin that are concerning. And I've taken them to Him and I have seen it. So I'm here standing here as a living testimony that the Lord has intervened and done things. And why? Because He can do the little things. Even that thing that you could say, you know what, I can spend $4.97 at Walmart and I can get this little ointment and put it on there. And if I will do it faithfully for 6 weeks solid, I can get rid of that wart. But I've got some better news for you. Save the $4.97 and lift that little wart to Jesus and see if He can't heal that. See if we can't start there. Maybe it's a rash. Maybe it's an itchiness. Maybe it's a skin condition. Only you and God know about it. But I want you to be mindful of that because He's speaking over us this morning. He's saying, I'm here and I'm here to heal some skin conditions. Some of you may be dealing with subdermal cancer. You may be dealing with stuff that's been brought to the surface. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you that the same Holy Spirit that was here with Jesus when He was in the room is here with us. And whether it's the smallest thing as a wart or the most major thing like a stage 3 or 4 cancer lurking in the subdermal layers of your skin, it doesn't matter. If it's skin, I believe that Jesus is here through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to minister to you while we share the message. Amen? Now, how many of you just raise a hand and say, Lord, I receive that. Just open my heart. Just open my heart. So it says, and in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, a man with leprosy came to Him and begged Him on his knees. And He said, if You are willing, You can make me clean. I love that. He falls to Him and begs Him on his knees. If You are willing, You can make me clean. And Jesus was filled with compassion. Don't you love that? He was filled with compassion. Now, it's interesting that some of the manuscripts actually read this way. And Jesus was filled with indignation. It's a powerful passion. As you read the book of Mark, He's talking about things happening quickly and things happening with great energy. I believe we can understand that Jesus was irritated and indignant at what had happened with this man's body as a result of whatever it was, and certainly because of the fall. But also there's a sense of, very often if we're not careful, we come to Jesus saying, Lord, if you are willing, could we just dispose of the idea of giving God outs all the time and excuses? Could we knock off the idea that, well, if God is willing, he could do this. If God is willing to do that, or if God is really willing, that'll happen. There are people who believe the evangelism of the world will happen only if God is willing. That's not what it's about. It's always about a partnership. And so Jesus releases this man from this question. What's the big question in his mind? He doesn't have any doubt that Jesus is able to heal him. He has a question in his mind whether or not he's willing to heal him. So you know what Jesus does? He eliminates that question. And I pray that he would eliminate that question by the Holy Spirit in our minds, that we don't create these little logical reasons that we hide out from the potential impact of the power of God, or somehow feel like we have to be God's apologists, giving him an escape hatch in case things don't go like we think they will. Jesus says, in fact, one of the versions says, if I'm willing, go, be cleansed, I'm willing. So Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately. Everybody say immediately. I don't know about you, but I like that word. 1 minute in the microwave is just too long. I like immediately. I don't like to wait, do you? And there are certain circumstances and situations that require no waiting and can't be improved through the wait. But this is something that needs immediate attention. And I'm here to tell you something. There are some things in your life, even something as simple as a skin condition, that God believes is of an immediate nature, that he is willing to release healing to. So he says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, I want to stop right there. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is not interested in building a crowd. We've already seen that in John 1. He doesn't stand up and say, okay, attention everybody, all you hundreds of people gathered here, I'm about to pull off an amazing miracle. He doesn't do that. The crowd doesn't even know what he has done. Only the servants and his disciple and his mother know what has happened. And that is, water has been turned into wine. It's going to take a while for the people to make the connection and to hear the news. Jesus is not interested in doing things just to wow people and impress them. He's interested in doing things to transform and change them and get their attention. Amen? He loves to be one-on-one and intimate in relationship with people, and he loves to do things for people. In fact, I'm here to tell you something. He loves to do things for you. He loves to reveal himself that way. Now, what he wants them to do is he wants them to go and be an outreach to the priests. Because what's the job of the priest? Skin certification. Because if you don't have the right skin, you can't come to church. Hello? If you don't have the right skin, you can't come to church because you are unclean. So he wants an outreach to the priest. He wants this man to go and simply testify before the priests so they can know something. That not only is this a bad condition, but we saw it when it was bad. Now we know it was good. How did this happen? This is not usual. What happened in your life? Where have you been? What have you done? How is it that you have gone away in this condition and you have returned in this condition? Jesus wants to lay something before the doctors of the day and show them that I am doing things that are tangible, measurable, and can be understood to have happened actually in history. These are not just great lessons that I'm teaching, but this is actual physical, spiritual, and emotional transformation that I'm making in people's lives. But instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus wants to do something in your life today in this service that starts skin deep and ends up in the depths of your being. He wants to start somewhere, and for some people in this room, it's going to be a starting right there and just doing something on the surface of your skin. You believe it? I do. I know this. He is present to do this. And we simply have to reach out and agree. So some things about skin. Number one, everybody has it. Aren't you thankful? It's our largest organ. It is the largest organ of our body. That's a kind of a trick question if you want to win at some trivia game. Say, quick, what's the largest organ in our body? Some go, oh, the liver. No. Oh, it's the heart. Oh, it's the lungs. No, your skin. It's the largest organ in your body. Without it, what a mess we would be. Wow. Talk about being exposed and gross. Whenever somebody wants to portray horror in science fiction and comic books and so on and so forth, it's some sort of accident which exposes part of their skin. And we certainly don't want to be a Skeletor, right? We don't want to be Two-Face of the DC Comics fame. We don't want to be like these people who have had some sort of accident and now some of their organs are exposed. It's something like that. It's, no, no. Put something over that. Cover that up. This is what we do with skin. We paint it. We tat it, we lotion it, we cover it, and we pamper it to the tune of $18 billion a year. The United States, Americans spend $18.49 billion. $100 million is spent on baby lotion and child care products just for skin alone. $1 billion a year is spent on sun protection, mostly copper tone. Blah, blah. So is it any wonder when you go into Walmart, and especially in the summer, a huge kiosk filled with all kinds of UV protection and all kinds of, and it's constantly expanding, $1 billion a year just spent on sun products. $4 billion is spent on body skin care. You know, Nivea lotion and all the other stuff. Think of on TV how many skincare product commercials you see. We're not talking cosmetics. We're just talking about lotion, Cornhusker lotion, things to deal with calluses, things to deal with dry skin, things to deal on and on and on. $4 billion in body skincare. And listen to this, $9.49 million in facial care. Would you say skin's pretty important to the American people? You better believe it. 18 point, and it's growing at 3.5% a year. Constantly growing market, constantly expanding numbers of dollars that's going into it. Why? Because people are conscious of their skin. Number one, Naaman the Syrian leper was a powerful history in Israel of the power of God changing a leper's life. You remember the story of Naaman the leper? We're not going to turn to it, and I'm not going to read it. We don't have time. But I just want to say this. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, it's recorded, that story. And it goes like this. A young girl who had been captured from Israel was now a servant, strategically located in a general's house. She served the wife of the general, a renowned general of Syria. And this man by the name of Naaman had been diagnosed as a leper, which meant now that he would have to leave his life of public service and he would have to get away from people because he could be contagious and it would result in a spreading skin disease to other people. when he's diagnosed, the little girl doesn't say, good on him, I'm glad he needs to die of a horrible skin disorder. The little girl says, there is a God in Israel who heals skin disorders. Isn't that great? Now, doesn't it sound different if you don't say leprosy? We have a God in heaven above. We have a Jesus who walked on the earth. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room today. And he is able to heal skin disorders. He does this as a matter of course. So she tells him, he writes a letter. The king panics because he thinks that somebody's trying to pick a fight. Then Elisha sends a message and said, don't worry about it, send him to me. And then Elisha gives that man a message, has no decency to walk out by and confront the man. He sends a message, a prescription, through the hand of his servant, Gehazi. And he tells the man, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. That man gets angry and says, I have beautiful clear rivers up in near Damascus, and he's sending me to get in this muddy trench down here called the Jordan. No way. And his servants say, if he would have asked you to do a great thing, you would have done it. How much more this little thing that he's asked you? He's been in a huff because he stood before them and said, I expected the man of God to come out, wave his hand over the spot and say something to the God of heaven, and then for me to be miraculously healed on the spot. And now he's given me this prescription. Go down and dip in the Jordan 7 times. And what does he do? He goes and he obeys. He dips in the Jordan, and after he comes out from the 7th dip, the scripture just proclaims it very clearly. His flesh was new like an infant. How many of you like some new skin like an infant? Somebody sign me up for that one. I want that miracle. How many know God can do that? God can do that. And so this right here is a story that's a powerful history lesson in the life of Israel, that God is able to do something about a skin disorder. Number 2, leprosy was lurking as a dreaded thought in the mind of every Israelite. They were checked out continually by the priests. It was instructed in the book of Leviticus, and they would go and they would get ready for church. Now, here's how they got ready for church, by the way. All the men would go over to the men's bath, and the ladies would go over to the ladies' bath. And there would be inspectors who would look at you as you went down with the suit that God gave you into the water. And they would notice, hey, you notice that right there? We need to get that, pay attention to that, because if that continues, you're not going to be in church next Sunday. Because we can't have you affecting the other worshipers with a contagion. And so you might get picked out by the watcher, females that were trained to do that for the female side, males on the male side. And so, you were inspected when you went to the temple. You were inspected at the mikveh bath. And the Pharisees and the other leaders, they were skilled at looking and saying, let me see that. Ah, no, that's not what we thought it was. Okay, you're all right. And others go, how many of you love it when the doctor goes, what's that right there? I'll tell you what, you have my receptionist set you an appointment for next week. We need to keep an eye on that right there. And you're going, what, that little spot? That? Well, I think that represents more than just a little spot. So, I don't know. Let's keep an eye on it. That's not new. The Jews had heard that all their life. They heard the stories. They knew that those lepers that were out there yelling, lamay, lamay, unclean, unclean, that it all began with a, And how many of you know you always have that friends that say, I had a cousin that had that one time. Oh, it's horrible. One of the most tragic things I've ever seen in my life. Please spare me. I don't want to hear it. Hey, how about this one? Hey, you know what? I know somebody had that one time, but there is a God in Israel. There is a Jesus of Nazareth. There is the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God that is with us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He is right with us in this room right now. And He knows the answer to that. He's got the answer. Number 3, our enemy accuses us of our commitment to God only being skin deep. Hello? That's what the enemy does. You don't believe me? Look at the book of Job. He's standing before God, Lucifer is, and he's speaking to God. Satan is speaking to God about Job, and he says this phrase, skin for skin. He's only in this for himself. He's only paying attention. He's only in it for himself. And that's when the enemy suggests that boils be put on Job's skin. Skin for skin. His commitment to you is only skin deep. Now, for those of you who are thinking, I must be like Job. That's why I'm dealing with the skin condition. Don't flatter yourself. There are too many people that think they're Job. No, not even close. There's something going on. It may be natural, maybe supernatural. Something's going on. But I'm here to tell you some great news today. The Holy Spirit is present to make a difference in skin conditions. But our enemy will accuse us of our commitment to God as only being skin deep. Oh, heal that, remove that, deal with that, and then they'll spin off into disobedience. And I'm here to say that the devil is a liar, and you don't need to accept that condemnation. Don't allow that to dampen your faith. Don't let that shut your heart. Realize something, that the same Holy Spirit that was present with Jesus for healing with that leper is the same Holy Spirit that's present for here for you on today for anything that affects your skin. Number four. Matthew, Mark, and Luke relate the story. Now, what's significant about that? Mark is talking to the Romans. He's talking to the Romans. One of the reasons that his gospel is filled with words like straight away, immediately, and with anger and fear and trepidation and trembling. These are important words to the Romans, and he rolls out that story as we've read it in chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Matthew shares it to the Jews because he knows that's the single most great fear that they all have in their mind. That what will start as a freckle or a strange colored hair or a spot will turn into banishment from the community and dying a horrible, lingering death. Luke takes the message on the journey with Paul and he shares it to all the Gentiles the world over and saying and is proclaiming equally there amongst all three of them. They're saying, let's expand the audience and let's have people understand something. He is able to heal. Jesus confronted and healed leprosy. He healed skin conditions. And the same Jesus who did that there and then can do that here and now, if we will simply connect with Him. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. So Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. You see, He said, I'm going to go away, and if I go, I will send another comfort and another of the same kind. And He will lead you. He will guide you. He'll be with you. He's often referred to in Scripture as the Spirit of Christ. So I come to conclude what I began with my introduction, and that is Jesus by the Holy Spirit is in this house today. We should bring Him some skin deep issues for ministry. So let's all stand to our feet before we go. And as we stand to our feet, what is that that might be upon our heart that just seems like an insignificant thing? I remember holding out on not praying for a wart. I remember thinking, a little bit of Ambisol fix that. You know what? A little knife and this and that. I didn't have the internet then, but I heard some old wives' tales. Right? Some home cures. Maybe there's something that's stirring some fear in you. It seems so insignificant that, you know, a skin tag, a mole, what, a brown spot, something that could speak of something deeper. I don't know what it is, but I do know something. Jesus knows you. The Holy Spirit knows you, and whatever that is, I just want to urge you right now to realize that you're in His presence. And there's something I know that today, there's some people that are going to be able to come back from this room and this time and say, you know what? I'm not really at liberty to share, but the Lord did something with a skin condition. Hey, you know what? I used to have this nettlesome wart right here, and it's gone. Now, why would the Lord want to do that? Because He wants to start somewhere with you and say, you know what? I want to be here with you, and I want to reveal myself, and I want to get people's attention, not only your attention, but people you know and people that are going to be in this room, and I'm going to build towards something here. There's a sense that, hey, you know what? We go to church with an expectation because, you know what? Jesus is there. And because He is here, something happens in people's lives, and very often it's physical. He's not content being the invisible God perched on a throne in invisibility with having no bearing in our life. But He is intent and interested in making tangible and physical His grace. To heal the sinner. To heal the leper. To cleanse. And to do something simple or great in our physical bodies. In that great organ, our skin. So let's just lift a hand towards Him right now and say, Lord Jesus, we just open our heart to You and we just want to receive from You. You are here. You are here. You're not here because pastor says You are. You're here because Your word says You are. Your integrity says You are here. You are present with us. You are the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And we can come to You with things great and small that affect our skin. We lotion it. We rub it down. We examine it. We have the dermatologist look at it. We have the oncologist look at it. It's something that furrows our brow, causes us concern. And so, Lord, we're just lifting conditions, things that are erupting on our skin, things that are working up into our skin because they're in our nerves, things that are down in our soul, things that are down into our physical body, things that are going on within our spirit. And we're just lifting our physical self to You. And we're just looking, Lord. We're just looking. We don't have to come to You and say, Lord, if You are willing, You're able to remove this wart. Let's fill in the blank, whatever it is, Lord. Rather than say, Lord, You are willing. You are willing, and I bring this to You. I just bring this to You. And I reach out to You. And I thank You, Lord, for reaching out to us. For beginning to set a trend in this place that people will experience a physical transformation because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here with us, demonstrating Himself and making Himself real, and building and developing and encouraging the faith of people. You want to do something real and tangible and measurable and gracious. You want to do some major healing in this place. And we open our hearts to You, Lord, and we say, come Holy Spirit, You are here. We want You to lead us out. We want You to lead us into the waters of healing. Let's start with some skin conditions. Lead us out into the experience. Let us go on an adventure with You and begin to have an expectation like we never had before. Wow. The Holy Spirit's doing some things at Vision Church. He is doing some things at Vision Church, and they're measurable. They're powerful. They can be small but substantial. He can do mighty and great things. He can do small and mundane things so that it can be a sign and evidence, an indicator to somebody that He loves them, He's compassionate upon them, He has a plan for them, and He has so much more that He wants to do in their spirit and their soul. So we lift that before You, Lord, and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Now, as you go home, check things out. Keep your eye on it. All right? And I want to hear back. That will build my faith. How many of you need your faith to be built? Can I just raise both hands? I need skepticism and other things to go to the side. And I need faith to be raised up. And what happens then? Jesus is released to be who He is. And boy, do we need Jesus, the head of the church, to be who He is. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. So may the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. And may the Jesus who heals skin conditions make manifest His grace upon your physical skin, your body, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. The Lord bless us as we go.